Good afternoon, folks. This is old Judy Duke yet again at 5:30 on Monday afternoons, and that makes it a wonderful day. Anytime Judy's on the radio, that's a wonderful day for me. I have in the studio with me one of the most talented individuals I know, and I think you will find what she has to say quite interesting. Some of you may be familiar with her. I have with me Phyllis Woods Brown. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Judy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You've been on a list that I've got that hangs down, you know, my bathroom, and it just goes on and on. Toilet paper, you understand?
I do. I'm just proud that somebody besides my mother finds me fascinating.
you're fascinating in more than one way. I thought you were a native Cookevillian simply because, or Putnam Countyan, where I know you live on the mountain, and I just assumed you never should assume anything, folks, because never mind, I won't tell you why, but you just don't need to do that. You're not.
I'm not. I'm actually from Knoxville, and I grew up in Fountain City, and then when I was 11, we moved out in the country to the farm, we called it, in Carnes. And then I came to school, like so many others, at Tennessee Tech and landed here.
What'd you major in?
Music.
Well, of course. I should have known that.
I was there during the Wattenbarger era.
Wattenbarger,
Mary Wattenbarger was my voice teacher and my counselor.
Well, she did. Good old Mary.
She was.
She did good.
Yeah, she was wonderful.
They were wonderful people. Too bad that they left us a little early, maybe. But yeah. Anyway, one thing I know, you live up on the mountain with Greg Brown, and before we went on the air, I told you you had done really well that your last name was Brown because that's my maiden name. I don't think Greg and I are any kin.
I don't think so. Greg is from West Tennessee, and he landed here because of Tennessee Tech as well.
And you met him there?
No, actually, I met him through – I used to have a sporting goods store in town with my first husband.
Oh, okay.
And I met Greg
there.
What
was that?
That was Odell's Outdoorsman.
Get out of here. I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
I used to be
an archery pro, and I know a lot about guns.
What haven't you done in men?
I'm a jack of all trades.
You really are. Go ahead.
I categorize myself somewhere between average and almost fabulous.
Well, hello, girl. You go for it. I categorize you up there and toward the fabulous end. How many musical instruments do you play?
Well, I play hammered dulcimer, which is my main instrument. I play the mountain dulcimer or the fretted dulcimer, which is the one that lays across your lap. I play clawhammer banjo. I play guitar. I play penny whistle.
I don't know what that is.
A penny whistle?
Mm-mm.
You hear it a lot in Irish music. It's a little bitty flute that's held downward rather than up like a regular flute.
Okay.
And you hear them.
A penny whistle.
Yeah, it's called a penny whistle.
Okay. You need to do a concert and play all those instruments.
Well, I would love to do that.
Okay. Then I will pursue that.
A friend of mine, Ted Yoder, is known worldwide. He's a hammered dulcimer player, and we're trying to get him here to do a concert, and I'm hoping I can open for him.
That would be fabulous.
Maybe over at Peachtree. I teach at Peachtree.
Okay.
Private lessons over there.
Okay. The hammer dulcimer over at the Peachtree Learning Center.
Actually, I'm teaching guitar over there.
Oh, are you?
Beginner guitar over there. I'm trying to get people interested in
the
hammer
Grant
dulcimer.
Saunders?
No, I don't.
Okay. I thought that's where he was, but maybe he's not anymore. But anyway, I heard you play the hammer dulcimer, and it does something to me on the inside, just the sound of it. I mean, I've heard dulcimers. What'd you call it? When it goes across?
The mountain dulcimer.
The mountain
or the
dulcimer.
Appalachian dulcimer.
Yeah, okay. That's the one I'm familiar with. And then I don't know how you and I came across the fact that you did play the hammered dulcimer. Now, tell folks, that's a big instrument.
It's a really big instrument.
And I bet it's heavy.
It's very heavy. Mine, the one that I have now currently has 108 strings. And because it's a wooden instrument, it has to be tuned quite a bit. but the hammered dulcimer is actually a predecessor to the piano. I mean, you've got strings being played by little mallets And,
yes,
you know,
you play so, with the, you don't do it with your fingers,
right,
you do it with the
right,
little mallets.
Yeah.
I would love to learn to do that. Oh, I don't think I could at this
stage.
It's
a very soothing
life.
Instrument, and they
really
actually use them
is.
A lot of times in Alzheimer wards when the people get agitated, and they'll have somebody come in and play, and it just calms them down, and it's very calming. Greg goes to sleep every time I play. I have. I've done several funerals and several weddings.
Ooh, I'm going to keep that in mind. I'll make myself a note because, you know, at my age, you just never know.
Oh,
well, this is true. We don't know how old I am. Only my mother knew that, and she's been dead 20 years. So.
That's the way I am, too.
Anyway, it is a very soothing, comforting, and it may not be to everybody. Like, I love harps.
Oh, me too.
And I bet you could play the harp, or you probably can.
I would love to learn to play the harp.
That First Baptist Church, they have a harp ensemble. And
oh,
they,
is that right?
They teach you.
Oh, wow.
That's just for your information.
Okay.
Okay. I think Pat Butler is in charge of that at First Baptist. I don't know when they meet or anything. But anyway, Cindy Rose Dowell, who is from Cookeville, was on my show some time ago. She played the harp at my daughter's wedding, and I just love it.
I think that's the same one that played the harp at my daughter's wedding.
It probably was, because she lives in Carthage, but she's moving now to Cookeville, and so she'll be a lot more accessible. But anyway.
Can I tell you how I got into the hammered dulcimer?
I was just going to ask you, because you were already playing the Appalachian dulcimer, were you?
No.
No?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I grew up, of course, everybody's family stories are only interesting to their families. But,
not necessarily.
But I love my story, because my dad is my hero, and he's the reason that I got into it. I picked up a guitar when I was 13 and started playing, and then all the way through high school, I was kind of the go-to person where they would, if they needed entertainment, they would call me. And then I kind of got away from music for about 10 years when I moved to Cookeville. And then my dad, who worked at Union Carbide, Oak Ridge, retired, and he had always been a woodworker, just a hobbyist. And he and my mom went on a trip with their Sunday school class to Dollywood. And he saw his first Appalachian dulcimer, and it was a cardboard one. And he bought it and took it home and built one, you know, from that model. And then he built one for Mama, and then he built one for my brother and my sister and me and our spouses and all the grandchildren.
The whole family.
Yeah. He had built like 35 of them, so we all had one. But we didn't really know what kind of music we wanted to play, and we went to the Appalachian Homecoming up in Norris.
Yes.
And we saw this man, and I would give anything if I knew who the man was, but I don't. But we saw this man playing this thing. And my sister and I looked at each other, and our eyes got really big, and we turned around to Daddy and said, "This is what we want to play." And that was in October, and that year under the Christmas tree, my dad had built my first hammered dulcimer.
Oh,
for me and my sister.
You still have it, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So
he's the one that got us all
That's
into
fabulous.
It. That's
fabulous. Talking this afternoon with the very talented Phyllis Brown about how she learned to play the hammered dulcimer. You pretty much taught yourself?
Pretty much. I went to workshops like the workshops that I teach now.
I started to say, you're all over the Appalachian.
I haven't been west of the Mississippi yet, but I've been teaching Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, South Carolina. I just haven't been yet west yet. Kentucky.
There you go. Tennessee. Oh, yeah. You're always, I see on Facebook, I keep up with you on Facebook because I think, well, where's she going to be now? I think it's great. I'd love to just be in your trunk or whatever, be
well,
in a suitcase. And you can take me and I'll sit there. I'll be your best and greatest fan, let me tell you. I know you did play some for me when I was working at our, with the museums and at one of our cemetery walks.
I did.
Candlelight cemetery walks. You talk about a feeling. Because here we are in a cemetery, and there's this sweet, heavenly music. But you also did one that I so enjoyed because I wanted you to talk. Because usually people just, as before you, I guess you started singing as much. But anyway, you told the story about the...
About Ernestine?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea where... Yeah, I have no idea where Ernestine came from, up on Brotherton Mountain.
Brotherton Mountain.
But yeah, Ernestine, Joe Agnes, Lou Ellen Buckner.
Say it again.
Ernestine, Joe Agnes, Lou Ellen Buckner.
That's great.
Yeah.
And that I loved that story, and I loved you telling it, and you had music involved with it.
Yeah.
And
that was a lot of fun.
Well, it was fun for us. We loved it. But you have, I didn't realize you played all of these different instruments. I do remember seeing on Facebook where you were learning the banjo.
Yeah.
You didn't play that one.
I did not play that.
And that's hard to play out here.
I found it to be, I guess because of the open tuning.
I know nothing about this.
Which means that when the strings are tuned in a chord, even if you don't put a finger on a fret, you're playing a chord. And so for some reason, I knew where the melody was. It was just, I don't know, I found that
one
pretty easy.
You're one of these God-gifted people, then. I knew where the melody was.
Well, I told you, I'm just almost fabulous.
You are almost fabulous, but, my mother put me in piano lessons when I was quite young, and I had my knuckles, that's why I have such arthritis in my hands. She would hit me with a little stick thing if I would hit a wrong note. I didn't like that woman, but I won't mention any names.
Yeah. But, I've heard of those.
Thing I can still play with one hand. Is what a friend we have in Jesus, and that was my daddy's favorite.
Oh, well, good.
Only with one hand. So I was not blessed with this God-given talent, musical ability. That's not one of my talents, unfortunately.
I started when I was 5 years old with my parents saying, I want a piano. I want a piano. I want a piano.
Oh, Lord, you came out that way.
And I did. And we couldn't afford one, and then finally our neighbors were selling one, and my daddy, again, is my hero, and he hand dug a basement under our house with a shovel and a wheelbarrow, and so the steps going down to this were very narrow, and so Mama said, we'll buy this piano if it will go down the steps. Well, it didn't, and so I didn't get a piano. But about 4 years ago, my oldest daughter called me, and she said, Mama, do you still want a piano? And
hold it right there, okay. Phyllis. We're going to pick back up with Mama. Do you still want a piano? We got to take a break and let our sponsors share their wares. And we will be back talking with Phyllis Brown in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters here on this fine Monday afternoon, talking with Phyllis Brown. And when we took our break, Phyllis, you were saying that one of your daughters, you have two, and you said that one of your daughters said, Mama, do you still want a piano?
And I said, absolutely I do. And that Christmas, they bought me a piano, a used piano for my Christmas present.
You didn't mention that a while ago. Did you?
No.
You mention piano?
No.
I didn't say
I played it. I said I've got one.
You play it.
I play a little.
A little. Like me and my, what a friend we have in Jesus with one hand. After all those years with Miss So-and-so clicking my hands with that ruler she had.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Probably why I can't play any better than I could, because I hated it. And I would deliberately not practice, although my mother almost got quite headed trying to make me. But that was not my inclination at all. Okay, so now we're playing the piano, and this hammered dulcimer sound, and then the little Appalachian dulcimer. Which is your favorite, the hammered dulcimer?
The hammered is my favorite, but my second favorite is, well, it's a cross between the clawhammer banjo and the Appalachian dulcimer. The Appalachian dulcimer
just... What is a clawhammer banjo?
Clawhammer is a style of playing. It's an open back banjo. It doesn't have the big resonator on it that the bluegrass banjos do.
Okay.
And so instead of picking, you're actually strumming down, and it's a real old-time sound. Real old-time sound.
You're really into this...
I like old-time.
Appalachian. Yeah. Say it, Judy.
Appalachia. People from there and from here say Appalachia. All the rest of the country, they say Appalachian.
Yes, it's Appalachian.
It's Appalachia.
Yeah, the Appalachia is an old music. It goes back a long time.
I mean, picture
and it's different.
Picture
from
an
bluegrass.
Old woman on the porch of her mountain cabin. That's where this music came from. Mm-hmm. And I took a workshop one time that was so interesting. Because this guy had done all this. You've heard of song catchers?
Mm-hmm.
This guy had done all this research, and he would say, okay, this is the way they play this fiddle tune in this county. And this is the way we play it in another county, because people didn't travel because of the mountains.
Sure.
They just stayed in their own little hollers. And so songs kind of got morphed into something else. It was very interesting.
So, yeah.
I love that.
You're an Appalachian girl.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about hollers instead of
hollers.
Hollers.
They're hollers.
You have to holler to get somebody to hear you on the next hill.
That's right.
they can call us whatever.
Yeah.
I'm proud to be from where I am. I think
me too.
This area is a grand area.
And when I started going up north to teach, I was embarrassed by my accent to start with, and the more I went, the more proud of my accent that I got. And
good,
I don't even put it on anymore. When I was in outside sales, I prized myself on being a chameleon. I'd go to some of these outer places, and I could talk just the way they did, anyway.
I did a summer job in Michigan when I was in college, and Dwight and I were dating, and I ended up in Michigan, and he ended up building a church on an Indian reservation in Nevada, and his daddy liked to kill him an $800 phone bill. This was before cell phones, where he was calling me, but I traveled all over the state of Michigan, and I had trouble calling home because of my accent. And the people would say something. She'd just say something for us.
My oldest daughter did travel nursing in San Francisco.
Oh, my word.
And she said that the other nurses would just come up to her and say Walmart.
Wally World.
Walmart.
Oh, me. They say of course, I taught speech at Tech, and, I love doing it because there were a lot of children, young people who were from this area, from the Upper Cumberland area. And, and you were talking about depending on where the people, on what hill they lived on, depending on the music.
Right.
And same thing with, we all are from Tennessee, but
there are three
different dialects.
Three distinct dialects.
Yes, there are. There's down in Memphis, you've got that southern, really, in Alabama, down in that area, it's that delta sound, that delta, and then you've got your hillbillies in Kentucky and your mountain people up in East Tennessee. But I always could pretty much decide by listening to a student close to where they were from. I used to pride myself on that. I thought, because it's the truth.
I know. It drives my daughters crazy that my parents say kindly.
Kindly.
It's kindly hot.
Yeah, kindly hot. That means it's not really, really hot, but I bet they're saying it is hot today. In other days that we've had, it's been so hot.
Right.
But anyway, so you like this claw
Claw hammer
Clawhammer.
And it's called that because when you play, your hand is shaped,
shaped like a claw.
And you don't move it from that. Yeah, your left hand still has to move.
Your left hand's just going every which way.
And it's got a lot of hammer-ons and pull-offs and just things that make it sound really old. Actually, I used to be in partnership with a man named Brett Ridgway, and he lives up in Pennsylvania, and we were musical partners for a couple of years.
No kidding.
And he was a, I kind of taught him hammer dulcimer, and he taught me banjo.
Well, you know, and, in Pittsburgh.
We made three or four CDs together.
Okay, and you have CDs out there.
I do. I have six.
Just six CDs. Get one of those hammer and dulcimer ones, you know. You'll want to hear more, I can guarantee you. And I don't know what your others are. You play the banjo?
All of my CDs are a mixture of all the instruments.
Oh.
So
even that little flute that you hold down instead of what'd you call it?
A penny whistle.
A penny. That's an old appellation.
And I wish I knew why it was called that. I did know at one time, but I don't remember what it was.
Are you familiar with the Foxfire series?
I am.
Oh, of course you are.
Of course I am.
Well, I played Annie Nations in at the Cookeville Performing Arts Center back in 2006. One of my favorite shows that I was ever in of all time. And I can just see, of course, she was a real person. They made a play, Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy wrote this play, and it's called Foxfire, based on the Foxfire books that these English students went up into the mountains of northern Georgia to interview the mountain people. And so I could just see Annie Nation sitting on her porch. And Kim Frickwelker was the designer. Well, she was the director anyway. A real log cabin.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was a log cabin that was built on the stage at the Performing Arts Center.
I live in a log cabin.
And do you?
I do.
You do. That's true. You live in a more modern one, I might say.
Yeah.
But this was pretty rustic looking. But I could see Annie Nation sitting there on her mountain playing this claw-hammered
They played what they had.
Yeah.
And they made what they played.
Spoons.
Right.
You know, those
and jugs.
I can do that. I can play the jug. I have done that before, and it was great fun.
Right.
With other musicians
that
knew what they were doing. I was just going, ooh, 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 ooh.
There are people that can actually get real melodies going on those things. I don't see how they do
it. I don't either. But, you know.
And wash tub basses.
Yeah,
where you turn the wash tub upside down and put a stick on the side of it and a string.
String, and then you. I've seen.
So they made what
they
played.
Yeah. You're never going to give this up, are you?
No.
This will always be. I just think it's the most fascinating thing. Do you have any other interest besides this music? I know you garden.
I'd garden.
And I know I may not should bring this up, but you had a scare with your health not too many years ago.
I did. December the 29th of 14.
I got it memorized.
Of course. I had a mild heart attack, and
that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And I'm squeaky clean, other than that one little clot.
But that one little clot could have put you under. Thank God it didn't.
I know.
And you're still with us, and you're still making beautiful music. And but what else do you do besides? I know your grandchildren. You have a miracle grandson. That
I do.
I'm there for
I have a couple of miracles.
You do, don't you?
I do. Both of them from my oldest daughter. My grandson was born with no kidney function, and he has now had a kidney transplant. My daughter gave him one of her kidneys when he was 13 months old, and then the other, her younger child, was just a preemie, and she was 2 pounds and something. She's doing great.
they both are. That to me is a God miracle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody else makes miracles but God. But I'm going to have to, unfortunately, say goodbye.
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
If anybody wants to get in touch with Phyllis about her CDs or anything, she's on Facebook.
I am, and I have a website.
Phyllis, and she has a website. Okay.
PhyllisWoodsBrown.com.
PhyllisWoodsBrown.com. You will be pleased. You will hear some beautiful music from all these different instruments that I don't even know existed, like this flute, this penny whistle. Thanks again, sweet lady. Appreciate you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your talent. Appreciate
Thank
you sharing it with so many people.
I enjoy it.
I'll have you come back again.
Okay.
You folks have a good rest of the day. We're through. I got to get off. They're going to cut me off. Talk to you next week.